Well, I would like to congratulate you on surviving another Thanksgiving. I'm certain you did your part to make it a rather full day. Surveys indicate that somewhere between 88% and 91% of Americans eat turkey on Thanksgiving. The most recent stats claim we consume about 736 million pounds of turkey on Thanksgiving Day. Not a good day to be a turkey. And that doesn't mention even all the other foods we eat. It's believed that most Americans consume about 3,000 calories during the meal and about 1,500 calories that day on snacks. And I'm sure you all did your part to meet those stats. On Thanksgiving evening, our stomachs are thankful. It only comes once a year. But Thanksgiving is the second most popular holiday, while Christmas remains at number one. And Thanksgiving is the most unique in that a day set aside in which we are called to be, of course, thankful. And while many recognize it to be a day to be thankful, and they are, many are not clear who to be thankful for. They have maybe sort of a general thankfulness, if they even acknowledge it at all. And it's one thing to acknowledge what you're thankful for, it's another to acknowledge who you are thanking. And so now that Thanksgiving is officially over, most everyone has turned their attention towards Christmas. In fact, as you well know, one of the busiest shopping days of the year is the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, so named because it's the day that I guess a lot of retailers bring their, you know, balance sheets and they're black. But every year we see reports of people waiting in lines before the stores open to get the best deals before they're sold out. I remember one report, a man had set up, saw several setting up tents, you know, the day before. One guy set up a camping tent in front of a Best Buy, I think it was, with a generator, portable heat, a TV he had bought one of the other Black Fridays, games, a ceiling fan, all this stuff on Thanksgiving. He's going to beat the crowds. One person said that he has a TV in every room in his house. He gets one every year on Black Friday. So Thursday is a day of being thankful, and Friday starts the can I have. And I came across this picture here, this little saying, Black Friday, because only in America people trample each other for sales exactly one day after being thankful for what they already have. Our attitudes change quickly. There's actually a website up, believe it or not, with a Black Friday death count of all the deaths. There was a fellow that was shot in a parking lot over a parking space. There was people trampled on or shot in a mall. I mean, there's all these things that happen. They have these videos of people fighting over towels. I mean, it goes on and on and on. We change our attitude quickly. And so the day after Thanksgiving, and the first thing that happens, we get this craziness. Christmas lights are established. Shopping trips ramp up. Decorating and parties and all these events begin. And it's all part of the holiday season. It's all not the craziness of Black Friday. Of course, that's absurd. But all the other stuff, the gifts and the wrapping and the planning and the parties and the events, it's all part of the season. And we get that, but I want to say something this morning. Hold on a minute. Not so fast. Let's not give up on being thankful so soon. It's more than just a day. In fact, let's purpose to turn this entire season into a season of thankfulness. And I'm certain if we do that, it will prove to be a far better Christmas season. We began last week looking at the biblical understanding of thankfulness, and one of the scriptures we looked at was, of course, in 1 Thessalonians 5, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. New King James, the New Living Testament says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Most of us are thankful for our families, our homes, God's blessings on our lives. And that's good. We should be. But this scripture tells us to be thankful in everything, in every circumstance. We looked a little bit at that last week, and the reality is that can be hard to do. And pulling it apart a little more this morning, when you think about it, truth be told, if we're honest, there are many things we're not thankful for. How many of you pray for yourself or for others when somebody gets sick? Right? We have prayer lines. We had a prayer line this morning. I mean, we stand against sickness, right? We don't believe that a believer should have sickness, that God brings healing. Jesus healed all. So how can you stand against something and take a bold stand against it and be thankful for it at the same time? Financial difficulties, disagreements, fights, loss of a friend, loss of a loved one. If we're honest, we're not thankful for those things. But yet God declares us to be thankful in everything. And so how is that possible? We'll look a little bit at this morning, but 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and following helps us a little bit. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And do not quench the spirit. So we see here at the very least that there in God's will, there are three brief commands. Rejoice, some translations say be joyful always. Pray and give thanks. And Paul, the writer of 1 Thessalonians, he was really writing to many that, of course, of the day that lived under the law, the Old Testament. And he was really, throughout Thessalonians, speaking a difference of a inner attitude versus the law. You know, the Jews of the day filled the law the best they could. They fulfilled the law the best they could, and mostly with an outward appearance. And he was saying you could have your outward appearance, if you will, throughout the Scripture, that you know, you're trying to fulfill the law, which, of course, the law said never you could do. We see Scripture says you can never really fulfill the law. But the outward appearance is not as important as an inward attitude, a high attitude of thankfulness towards God, if you will. And so you have this outward conformity that doesn't really line up with your inward attitude. I've met, and you have, other believers that kind of be like that. They have an outward conformity, but their inward attitude, the outward conformity doesn't match their inward attitude. They may be, oh, praise God, give them glory, God is good, brother, yet they're always whining, always complaining, always murmuring, critical spirit. It's like, what's not matching here? And so Paul was writing certainly to believers and those that were coming out of the Old Testament law, coming first getting saved, and writing to us as well, but the whole attitude, we're not under the law, but we can still do the same thing. Have an outward conformity in our speech and our actions. But our inward attitude, our inward heart, it doesn't match up. And true outward obedience flows from a biblically correct inward attitude. So how can you rejoice always? How can you pray without ceasing? And how can you give thanks in everything? Life doesn't always give us circumstances worth rejoicing about. Life doesn't always give you something to be thankful for. That's just the reality. And when circumstances and difficulties have you down, when you're feeling perhaps even abandoned by God, and you're struggling with what's going on, it's hard to be prayerful, isn't it, if we're going to be honest about it? The times when we need to pray the most, and hopefully as you mature, whether you feel like it or not, you pray, but sometimes you still struggle with praying. Feels can be empty at times. And yet when you don't pray, when you don't rejoice, when you fail to give thanks, notice verse 19, do not quench the spirit. That's an amazing thing to add at the latter part of this exhortation to pray without ceasing, give thanks at all times, and knowing it's God's will and rejoicing. And when you don't, you quench the Spirit. And the Word and the Holy Spirit would not tell us to do these things if it were not possible. And I think the attitude lies, or the answer really lies, in our perspective of being thankful. We need the proper perspective. Perspective changes everything. I came across this one lady wrote this letter from college. Dear Mom, I'm sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm really has been broken. I broke it and my left leg when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when we had the fire. We were lucky. A young service station attendant saw the fire and called the fire department. They were there in minutes. I was in the hospital for a few days, and Paul, the service station attendant, came by to see me every day. And because it took so long to get a dormitory livable again, I moved in with him. He has been nice, yet I must admit that I am now pregnant. Paul and I are planning on getting married just as soon as he can get a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine, and we'll write more when I get the chance. Love, your daughter, Susie. P.S. None of the above is true. But I did get a C in sociology and flunk chemistry. I just wanted you to receive the news in a proper perspective. Oh, my gosh. Perspective is everything. And to be thankful in all circumstance, we need a proper perspective of our circumstance and of our God. Then and only then we'll be able to give thanks to the Lord always. We've called it developing an attitude of gratitude, of course, and there's at least three things that steal away our gratitude. And one is simply pride. Pride is the attitude that said, nobody ever gave me anything. I've worked hard for everything I have. I've done it. And with this kind of attitude, we have nobody to thank but ourselves. Ray Stebbins wrote a book, Folk Psalms of Faith, and he tells of an experience of this great preacher H.A. Ironside had in a crowded restaurant. And just as Ironside was about to begin his meal, a man approached and asked if he could join him. And so he invited him, Ironside invited him to have a seat, and then as was his custom, Ironside bowed his head in prayer. When he opened his eyes, the other man said, "Do you have a headache?" To which he replied, "No." "Well, there was something wrong with your food." Ironside, "No," replied, "I was simply thanking God, as I always do, before I eat." So the man said, "Oh, you're one of those, are you? I want you to know I never give thanks. I earn my money by the sweat of my brow, and I don't have to give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start right in." To which Ironside said, "Yes, you're just like my dog. That's what he does too." It's pride. It's a prideful attitude. When we're full of pride, we don't have anybody to thank but ourselves. Another attitude that keeps us from being thankful is a critical spirit or constant complaining. Instead of being grateful, we find something to complain about. We don't look at what God has done. Even sometimes we're struggling for where he's going to take us next when we lose sight of what he's done in our life, and we find things to complain about. There was a lady that was known as an incurable grumbler. I mean, constant complaint about everything. So the story goes that last her preacher thought he had found something for which she could be happy because her farm crop was the finest for miles around. Everybody was talking about how good it was. So he meets her one day with a beaming smile. He says, "You must be very happy. Everyone is saying how healthy your potatoes look this year." And she says, "Well, they're pretty good. But what am I going to do when I don't have bad ones to feed the pigs?" Some people find something to complain about all the time. And the third attitude that keeps us from being thankful is an attitude of carelessness. Somebody once said that if the stars only came out once a year, we'd stay up all night to watch them. But they're out there every night, and we've grown accustomed to them. I must admit, it's probably only a handful of times a year that if I happen to be out at night, that I look up and I think how beautiful and how majestic they are if you have a clear sky. But just think if they're only there one night. We stay up to see God's beauty that he does every day in our lives. The Israelites were famous grumblers. They grumbled because they had no food. So God miraculously sent them manna every day but the Sabbath. You should know the story. This idea of the manna. And have you ever wondered what manna would taste like every day? Exodus 17 tells us it tasted like wafers made with honey. Numbers said they made cakes of it, and it tasted like pastry prepared with oil. I'm hearing elephant ears. That's what I'm hearing. That's what it sounds like, right? But they were nutritious. God sent them nutritious. And then they complain because they got the same thing every day. It's an attitude of entitlement. You may know the name Rudyard Kipling. He was a great writer and poet. And like many writers and poets, he was one of the few who had the opportunity to enjoy success while he lived. He made a great deal of money at his trade. One time a newspaper reporter came up to him and said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read that someone calculated that the money you make from your writings amounts to over $100 a word." Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, "Really? I wasn't aware of that." So the reporter cynically reached into his pocket, pulled out a $100 bill, gave it to Kipling and said, "Here's a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Now give me one of your $100 words." Kipling looked at the $100 bill for a moment, took it, folded it, put it in his pocket, looked up at the man and said, "Thanks." And the reporter was jealous of Kipling. And that's another attitude of keeping us from being thankful. We can't be jealous of somebody else or what God's doing in somebody else's life and be thankful at the same time. In everything, give thanks. And that's the direct opposite of a jealous spirit, that you give thanks in everything. And so we see a little further if we look here at Ephesians 5, 18 and following. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and make music in your heart to the Lord. I mean, just that first part there, filled with the Spirit, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing. I mean, think of the joyful heart if we just lived in that. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, we're supposed to be speaking another in grace and grace words we've talked about and psalms and hymns and singing together as we did this morning. And then even in our heart to the Lord, you know, and our quiet times and our private times, to have this attitude and always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord. Be thankful in everything possible when you keep God before you and keep the right perspective. You should know the story out of Luke 17 with the lepers. Let's look at it briefly. Luke 17, starting in verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed in the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village, and there met with him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. I mean, they had to stand afar off. That was the rule of the day. If you had leprosy, you couldn't come into the city. You couldn't come near people. If people approached you, you had to yell, "I'm unclean, I'm unclean." It was a horrible place to be. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." 10 of these guys crying out. So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." And so as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give God glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." I find it interesting that, as a side note, that Jesus is very aware who was touched. Just like this morning, we had this line and God just moved in our hearts. He's very aware of those that need something and desires to touch them. So he asked the other nine, where are they? 9 suggestions of why the 9 did not return. I'm not saying this is Bible, this is a suggestion, but we can find truth in this a little bit, I guess. We see it. One way to see if the cure was real. I've had people say that to me over the years. You see a dramatic improvement in their life after you've prayed for them for healing at some point, and they go, "Yeah, I don't want to jinx it. I'm waiting to make sure." Seriously? You're getting better. You're healthy. You're strong. Give God the glory. One said, way to see if it would last. One said he would see Jesus later. One decided he never had leprosy. One said he would have gotten well anyway. One gave the glory to the priest. And one said, "Oh, well, Jesus really didn't do anything." One might have said any rabbi could have done it, and one might have said, "I was already much improved." It comes down to attitude, attitude, attitude. Who deserves the glory? And the thankfulness when he does something miraculous in our life. And what's interesting, throughout the Bible, if you look at it biblically, thanksgiving is to be expressed, not just thought. We can be thankful in our heart, speaking to your heart to the Lord, and joyful and thankful, but true thanksgiving is expressed as well. Jesus told the leper that returned that his faith had made him whole. The others were made whole as well, but I think he's talking not just about his body, but a spiritual wholeness, a mental wholeness, an emotional wellness. You're completely whole because now you've recognized who to be thankful for, and you've got a heart of gratitude. You recognize where you were and what God did, and he alone did it. You know, it's the same for us. This is interesting, but psychologists today tell us that sincere gratitude and thanksgiving is the healthiest of all human emotions, those that have studied it. I mean, I'd have thought healthiest of all human emotions would be joy or laughter or peace. And those that have worked this through say the healthiest of all human emotions is gratitude and thanksgiving. It's amazing. Hans Sohl is considered to be the father of stress studies, and he has said that gratitude produces more emotional energy than any other attitude in life. I mean, they're starting to learn what the Bible's been telling us all along. And gratitude acknowledges that you're not alone. You're not on an island, that someone is there for you. Whether it's somebody that God has placed in your life, or whether it's somebody, or God himself, I guess I would say. And lack of thankfulness has a negative effect. Romans 1:21, speaking of those, previous to this, if you read the scripture ahead of time, talks about people that knew God, that at least recognized God, that knew there was a God. And because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. An ungrateful person, somebody that's ungrateful to God, soon begins to fall away. Their thought life became futile. We've looked at many times over the years, one of the most important things you possess is your thought life. We've said for years, the enemy will defeat you in your thought life. We pray for many that had like a heaviness. God gave me that word of knowledge, and many had this heaviness and this weight. And what happens with that is it's our thought life starts at a lot of times. Something happens, or the enemy takes advantage of it, and we start thinking, and our thoughts are heavy. They're not trusting God. And we've looked many times, and looking at this morning, about trusting God in this circumstance. And so they became futile in their thoughts. Their hearts became darkened. They become diseased. They think themselves wise, while in fact they become fools. Why? Because they had and did not have an attitude of thankful. Didn't glorify God, weren't thankful. An ungrateful heart is a dark place to be, has very negative effects. This is not saying that when you're going through something that you should. I've seen just the opposite, where, oh, bless God, and they kind of blow it off, where they're really dying inside. I found it's best to take to God what I'm feeling. Lord, I'm fearful. Lord, I'm concerned. Lord, I'm worried, you know, whatever. But you tell me not to be, and that's a difference in that. So it's not a denial of what you're going through. It's not a denial of what you're really feeling inside. Sometimes you're feeling discouraged or depressed, anxious. Sometimes you're sick. It's not a denial of that. It's acknowledging that God is the only one that can turn it around, and you're bringing this negative thing in your life to God. And a thankfulness should be very specific. I'm sure we could have countless examples. One that I can think of is most of us agree our households are very busy. Many households have both working, and people, if they're not, even the ones not working, they're busy people, work, rush home. Maybe you have an evening meal. If you still have children, you're getting them ready, and all that's happening, and you get a messy kitchen. How many don't feel like cleaning up after a long day, a messy kitchen? You know what I mean? It's like, really? You don't want to get up in the morning and look at it? You know, I mean, we can all relate to that. But who thanks God for a messy kitchen? Sink full of dishes. Maybe we should. Perhaps we should ask what that mess represents, that we're blessed to have enough food to eat and a kitchen to prepare it in. A significant portion of the world goes to bed hungry every night. Significant portion in our own country and across the world. Asia seems to be the worst. They say 2/3 go to bed hungry. Go to bed hungry. Can you imagine that? It's rare we go to bed hungry. We have a nice meal, and an hour or two later, we're looking in the refrigerator. There's got to be something here. We're looking through the cupboards. Really? We just ate. We're not even worried about breakfast. There's got to be something here I can eat. It's been a whole hour. I'm feeling faint. 2/3 of Asia is going to bed hungry. People in our own land, our own cities, certainly across the world, go to bed hungry, and breakfast doesn't have a great future to it either. So we have this expression, count your blessings. What if we really did that daily? even for just a week, wrote down our blessings. Maybe we begin to see what God truly has done in our lives. The word says to be thankful, to give thanks in everything, even our problem. And I want you to notice something, and this is important. So pay attention. But this is important. It never says to be thankful for them. It says to be thankful in them. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. I'm never going to be thankful for sickness. I stand against sickness in my house and with you, and whether you're struggling or wrestling with those things. I've had God heal me immediately, and I've had times where I've had to work through a great deal of time for whatever reason. But I stand against sickness. I'm not thankful for it, but I'm thankful that God is my healer, that God hears my voice, that I can trust him in it, that he will direct me and give me wisdom and discernment. There's a big difference. It doesn't say be thankful for the circumstances. In everything, give God thanks, because he's aware of it. He knows what's going on. I want you to consider the Apostle Paul's perspective. He'd been around the town many times, beaten three times, whipped in prison, betrayed by friends, naked, cold, hungry, shipwrecked three times, and stoned because of his faith, often near death. I mean, if you took the time to read through the scripture, it's amazing what this man went through. He never stopped giving thanks. Look at his perspective. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. God's glory. 2 Corinthians 12:10. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He's saying that when I recognize that I can't do this on my own, I can turn to God. That's why I delight in them. He's not delighting in those things that are happening. He's delighting that he can acknowledge he needs God. Then he's strong because God shows up on the scene. In Philippians 1:12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Seriously? Talk about an attitude of gratitude. Beaten, jailed, shipwrecked, all these things, he's saying, God used these to advance his gospel. And others are touched because of the influence God has allowed in my life. And when you're thankful in your problems, you are making a statement. When you're thankful in your problems, you are making a statement to God, yourself, and the devil that God is in control and you trust him. You may not want the problem. You may have no idea what to do with it. You may be tired of it. You may be weary of what's happening in your life or somebody you know's life. But you're saying that God is in control and you trust him when you're thankful. He's not forgotten you. He's aware of your present difficulty. He's not ignoring you. And he is working on your behalf. When the Israelites were complaining about this, that, and everything, professional grumblers, their focus was on what they did not have instead of seeing all they did have and all that God had done for them. And God had done miraculous things, taking them out of slavery and providing food and everything they did. But they looked at what he wasn't doing. Boy, we're so adept at doing that. Where's God at this? Why is he not doing? What's happening? Where is it at? And we lose sight of what he's done, what he has done in our past and what he's doing. And then we need to look to what he's going to continue to do. Some of you have prayer lists, and I think that's commendable. I've had people tell me you're on my prayer list. I'd thank you for that. I mean, I want prayer. I think having a list of prayer, I'm adding, you know, that's a wonderful thing to have. But how about having a praise list? And for every prayer we add to the prayer list, we add a praise to the praise list. So while we're praying for these needs, we'll go over to our praise list and thanking God for things he's done or doing. That'd be very powerful. Last week, we looked briefly at Philippians 4:6 and following. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Living Bible says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than a human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. It acknowledges that that we will experience things that make us anxious. That's the whole point. It's saying these things are here. You're going to experience them. And when you're in them, while you're in prayer about them, be thankful that God is not ignorant of them, that God knows, that God is going to make it work out. And it kind of begins to change your prayer from the can I have to the thank you for. Can I have this, Lord, instead of thank you, Lord, for it? It changes your prayer from a question to a declaration of what God has promised you already. And that's a big difference. Thank you, Father. You promised me health. I thank you for it. In the midst of this sickness, I rebuke this sickness, and I thank you for the health that you have promised me. Father, you promised to provide for me. In my financial difficulty, you will meet this need. Father, you promised me peace and my relationships are struggling. I want peace in my life. Thank you for showing me how to accomplish those things. Whatever it may be, it changes your prayer from can I have, why don't I have this, to proclaiming his promises and thanking him for it. This lines up with Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things we hope for. The evidence things we aren't seeing. We haven't seen these things we're praying about. If we did, we'd stop praying. As a matter of fact, I have been guilty of praying. Something happens, God does it, and maybe the next day I go, I never thanked God for that. I sure had a lot to say when I was looking for it, but when it happens, you know, I never really, I do then, you know, but it's like you don't take that time to say, Lord, this is you. I mean, there are times we do, but how many times have you met? We don't. We forget about it. We look back and say, God did that. So you begin with the things you see, thanking God for them. You move the things you can't see, thanking God for working on your behalf. So we're bringing to a close Thanksgiving weekend. We just celebrated Thanksgiving Day. Day set apart by the founding fathers to celebrate God's goodness, faithfulness, and to give him thanks. Our country was founded on a heart of thankfulness. We looked at that last week. So let's not be thankless, but rather thankful. I have a challenge for you this morning, a challenge and some homework. We're going to enter the remainder of the holiday season. I want you to, all of us to do so with a heart of thankfulness. We may be thankful in a kind of a general sort of way, but I want us to be more specific this week. So if you accept the challenge, I'm challenging you to take a few minutes each day and think about someone you were truly thankful for and why. Somebody that God put in your life. Then write them a thank you note, email it, text it, better yet, mail it to them. How many times you get something actually in the mail? I mean, occasionally I'll receive a text or an email, written card, some expression of appreciation to me and or Chris, and I always appreciate it. Sometimes it seems to come at the best moment, you know what I'm saying? And I'm challenging this week, you know, do the same thing for somebody God puts in your heart. Somebody you know, somebody in the church, some friend, some neighbor, maybe somebody didn't even know the Lord, and express that to them. Send an email, call somebody, take somebody out to lunch, but take a moment to specifically thank them for what they're doing and how much you appreciate them. But make it personal. And I believe that you'll be the most blessed by the end of the week if you accept the challenge. And then let's make this a season of thankfulness. As we rush into the craziness for the next month, and as it is what it is, let's be thankful in it. Let's not lose sight of what God's already doing. Invite the worship team to come forward. Now, as you're being thankful this week and as you're presenting your prayer needs before God, remember to be thankful to him as well. Have that praise and thankful list created. Turn your prayers from can I have in a declaration of his promises to you. Thanking him regardless of the outcome. He's controlled. He has your best interests at heart. And let's be thankful. Let's worship our God together this morning.